This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Starve or compulsively exercise?
Hello and good afternoon. You are here at Help on Arrow FM 92.7. It's a Friday. Friday, 1 o'clock. The day is beautiful outside. I hope you guys have enjoyed your day. Last week, Matariki. So I was not here. I was with the family, which was lovely to be with the family. How great is it that we get to celebrate Matariki together, as an actual public holiday? I think I loved that. I really did. And our family, worked to embrace the heart behind, or the kaupapa behind Matariki. In being with our family. So it was really lovely. Today's show, for those of you who haven't listened to Help before, Help is where you get to listen to me and sometimes a guest from the community, just to talk about life as parents, individuals, adults going through that life experience of having children. And I was thinking about this morning when I talk about what Help is, when people, what is your show about? What's the radio about? And I think it kind of originally started, wanting to have the conversations that I wish I had had before I kind of got to where I've got to with kids, you know, the things that I wish someone had told me, or, you know, the unspoken stuff that just would have been nice to have had a conversation about. And then I was thinking about it today. Even if I'd had all of these conversations before I had children, I would still need to have them now. And so I think it's a lot more fitting to think that it's more just on a Friday afternoon we get to chat about, you know, life as it is, what the challenges are that come up as a parent, as a person trying to raise children. Some of the topics would be helpful before you have children to think about these things, but some of them are just, you know, topics that come up because you're in a different stage of life. So, you know, husband Michael and I now have all primary age children. We've never walked that before. So it's all new challenges coming to us. And so always learning, always growing. And I think what I'm starting to really understand in the process is that parenting, a lot of it comes, for me, comes down to growth in myself and what type of mum that I want to be, and how do I want to teach my children, and what lessons can I take from my parents, what lessons can I take from the world around me, but actually what lessons can I learn from my own children, and how can I be the best version of me for them. So it's something that I've been pondering this year, especially from doing this show. And mostly I just really enjoy the fact that I've got something different to do in my week that's not around work or children or cleaning the house and other responsibilities, but I get to come here and chat and talk and about my thoughts. So cool. That's what Help is. So come and listen to me every Friday, or you can follow and catch up on episodes through our website, find the Help program under the program list in the menu, and you can catch up on the past shows. And I've also got a Facebook page for Help, and I put the links up there too. And I also have put the link up there for the playlist that I use. I just keep building onto it from Spotify, and I think at some point it will just be this library of music that I really enjoy to listen to, and you guys get the benefit of hearing that as well. So speaking of music, let's just crack into some JP Cooper, and this is a new song that I found called Holy Water.
Sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. Two paths stretching out in front of me. I'm walking the one that's heavenly now. Sometimes I forget about honesty. Sometimes I forget about modesty. Days turn into months, I can't figure it out. But I'm grateful today for my daddy who showed me the way. So I wash my hands in the holy water. sweetest feeling. I did it again, did it again. One step at a time, we go steadily. Two step in the club is no remedy. One step in the sand, Lord carry me now. Some days I'll be searching in the bottles. Some nights I'll be sinking to the bottom. Some highs gonna be thinking I'll never come down. So I was playing in the holy.
And that was Holy Water by J.P. Cooper. I really enjoy him. He's a newfound artist. So if you didn't notice before, I didn't have headphones on, and now I have brand new headphones on. Thank you, Michael. They're very comfortable, and I feel normal wearing headphones again. I didn't quite feel normal before. Cool. All right. So today I was pondering what I was going to chat about, and I thought the best thing I find to talk about is tends to be things that are current in my life at the time, because that's what's on my mind, that's what I'm processing, that's what I'm looking into. The last couple of weeks, I think 3 weeks, have been really, really interesting in the Hollingsworth household. We had our youngest, Troy, he had surgery on his tonsils and his adenoids. So he had those removed, and he had a lancing in his ear. Sorry, I was just adjusting. And then of course there was the recovery from that, and the recovery, man alive, like I did not expect it to be as difficult as it was. The poor boy, he was in so much pain, and not some easy moments there for Michael and I to try and navigate him through that, and get really helpless in that, because there's only so much Pamo and Nurofen you can give. And I mean, he just lived on ice blocks and water, which he was happy about, and ice cream, but he preferred the ice blocks. If you're ever going through a tonsil, whatever it's called, tonsil removal with your children, the ice blocks seem to be the winner more than the ice cream and the jelly and the custard. It was definitely the ice blocks. Yeah, so that was cool. And then cool. And then we, unfortunately, my nana got really sick the Friday after kind of Troy bounced back. And I thought, oh, yes, you know, we can get life back to normal and we can kind of regroup and get routine. And then we had the call that nana was really sick and unconscious. And we basically spent last week by her side. Well, she wasn't unconscious, because she is a fighter and held on to the last possible minute and passed away on Sunday just then. So that was quite sad to go through that process. And I And for me, I kind of just went into a bubble this week of reading a book and ignoring everything in life. And then thought maybe that's a good thing to talk about, is that process of grief while you're parenting. Interesting thing is it kind of ties in with Matariki, doesn't it? We went to the kids' school on Thursday. A lot of the schools did their Matariki breakfasts, mornings, and stargazing. And we went to their school, and the principal did a wonderful job and said at one point, let's just take a moment to think of all the loved ones that we've lost, and, you know, those that we also care about now, and celebrating those that are around us. And it just was, yeah, it was a difficult moment, especially because I'm surrounded by 300 people. Thankfully, it was dark and it was very emotional. And, but it just, I guess the timing of Nana's passing being around Matariki was lovely in a way, because there was all this talk around celebrating those and remembering those and celebrating those who are here. And so I was able to kind of focus more on a positive perspective of Nana rather than just the sadness of losing her. And when I was talking to my co-worker, Hella, she made a point to me this week of, you know, it's okay to show grief to your children. And something she feels is that maybe we don't actually talk about how to process grief very well. And especially our kids. Where was I reading? It might be in this Whakatauki I was going to read to you all. It might come up in there. Or was it her? I can't remember. There's been too much going in my brain this week. But anyway, someone said, or I read it somewhere, how we like to protect our children from big things, but sometimes that doesn't really do them a service when they don't learn how to grieve or go through emotions or what that looks like. So I found that really resonated with me a little bit in thinking, how do I parent through grief? Last week was really difficult because I spent a lot of time up at the rest home with Mum and Dad and with Nana, so the kiddies didn't, although we kept them in their routine with school and husband went to work and that, they just got this shell of Mum, I guess, a shell version of me, and I was there, but I wasn't there. And then if I was there, I was very emotional, and so I didn't want to hide the emotions from them. And it was really interesting, their responses to it all. One of the kids would just keep asking me every day, is today the day that Nana died? And we just had quite a few conversations around death and loss, and I think in a way I was worried that it might end up upsetting the kids, but actually children are a lot more resilient than I think I give them credit for. And because we were open and talking to them about it and sharing and being honest, they felt part of it, felt part of the process. And and even now, you know, I heard husband talking to them last night while I was in the room reading, just saying, look, Mum's going through this thing called grief where emotions still come up about Nana dying, and we just, you know, need to support her the best that we can. And I thought, oh no, good on him for having that conversation with the kids, because it is hard when you've got all these emotions rolling around and then you still have responsibility to parent your children and be responsible and look after them and be there for their emotions. And I found that quite hard, which I could probably talk about shortly. So that's kind of what I wanted to stick on today, was talking about grief while parenting and just my very short process of doing that. I mean, I've had grief before. We all experience grief. And, you know, I've had loss before. But I think this is probably the first time I've ever experienced a big loss and grief while having children who are aware and children who still need me to keep going, and finding that balance of self-care and not going and going, if that makes sense. I was going to read, I've talked about this book before, it's called Aroha. Hold up to the camera for those who are watching the video. It is Māori Wisdom for a Contented Life Lived in Harmony with Our Planet by Dr. Hinemoa Elder, who is, let me just double check on the back so I get this right, she is a psychiatrist. and she's put this book together. It just says on here, through 52 Whakatauke traditional Māori life lessons, esteemed psychiatrist Dr. Hinemai Elder shares the power of aroha and explores how it could help all of us every day. So she is on all the social medias. I'm pretty sure I've seen her talking on TV a couple of times too. And it's just such a lovely book. And I thought, I wonder if she's got anything there on grief. And I did find a little thing, so I was going to read it, and then we'll just go to another song, and then we'll chat some more. So, apologies, I'm still working on pronunciation, but I will give it my best crack. He kōkanga whare e kitia, he kōkanga nā kō e kore e kitia. The corners of a house may be seen and examined, not so the corners of the heart. The heart holds many secrets. And she's got this beautiful write-up in here. I thought I would share. Well, I mean, I could read it all. I'll say, there was a few things in here that I really enjoyed what she said. I have always been intrigued, these are her words, Dr. Hinemai's, that's right, yeah, by this Whakatauke. It is heard in welcomes and in intimate gatherings, so like all Whakatauke, it has a wide breadth of meaning. Depending on the context in the whaikōrero, the formal speeches at gatherings, eloquent speakers use this whakatauke. It emphasises the seen and the hidden. It reminds us that there are layers of overt and covert, and that some things are extremely powerful by not spoken of, yet nevertheless continue to influence our actions. And then she writes a little bit more about, you know, talking about the heart and what can hide in the heart, and then some different experiences, like talking about pregnancy and baby loss, which is something that my husband and I know very well. And then at the end she says, so the corners of our hearts hide our deepest secrets and fears, our grief and loss. Many of these stories may never be told, and we come to accept this as reality. What are some truths we can begin to tell? How can we find avenues where it is safe to reveal those hidden heart spaces, at the very least to shed light for future generations? And I think because the reason why I really enjoyed her write-up here, which I recommend getting a copy of this book and reading the whole thing for yourself, because her words are wisdom and just really helpful, and I really enjoyed that last, like, just her explaining that our heart has these hidden places, these things, grief or loss, whatever it is, these hidden things that we keep tucked away and we don't necessarily talk about. And I really enjoy that last paragraph where she's putting that challenge out there of how can you talk about those things for our future generations. And that really resonated with what I've been thinking about as being a grief through parenting through grief, same thing. For my kids, how can I help them through grief? How can I help them learn what grief is? How can I help them learn to talk about those secrets of their heart if I can't do that for myself? So I think that's why I found that really helpful, and that Whakatauke really helpful. So I will definitely be meditating on that a little bit more. I should actually just reread that. Oh, that's not the one. It's on the other page. Let me just turn to it for you. Sorry, book paper sounds. He kōkanga whare e kitia. He kōkanga nā kō e kore e kitia. The corners of our house may be seen and examined, not so the corners of our heart. Such a great one. I might even put that up on the Facebook page later on to be reminded of it. So let's just ponder that together and listen to Let Me Let You Go by Mega.
Had a part of me missing, but said I was okay. I was searching for love, I was walking the wrong way. Never opened my eyes, I was blind to your grace. I gave up after losing the games that they all play. But you're breaking every rule of what I knew. Now I got a hand to hold. Don't ever live
Let Me Let You Go by Mega. So today we are chatting about my thoughts around grieving while parenting. And this is definitely, you know, yeah, definitely something I think all of us have to try and navigate while having these little people who are dependent on us. And for me, what I found that I'm mindful of this week is that because I do have a history of depression and anxiety, is that the stressor, you know, Nana passing and last week being quite difficult, that is a big stressor, that door of depression that was shut right now is like this open door in front of me where I have the possibility of walking in, because all the warning signs are there, the low motivation, the isolating, not eating properly, just all my common signs and symptoms of you could definitely walk down a difficult path right now have presented this week. And so, you know, putting the fact that I've got children dependent on me aside and husband, just my own personal being is like, right, I have to make some really sensible choices here for myself as an individual, that I don't go down this path that I've been down so many times, and take care of myself. And I think that's probably the first lesson that I'm learning through this parenting with grief, is actually stop and take stock of me first, not even my husband. Like, he was incredible last week. He held the fort for the family. He kept us going, and he was just as exhausted and had his own stuff going on with work and that. But I'm not responsible for him. And I think that was something I really learned last week, is I'm not responsible for everyone else. I'm responsible for myself first. And I think if you're someone that, like me, has struggled with depression and anxiety throughout life, it's important that at times like this, where there is that grief or that trauma or whatever stressor, whatever it is that's going on, that we stop and think, right, what do we need first? What I have learned is that the self-care that really works with me, with all that I've explored, is music, nature, like going for a walk. I just keep wanting to go to the beach because I love water. Like, said to my friend, friends are another one for me, actually. I've come to remember this week. Friends is probably a good one. I've got some beautiful friends who know me really well, and they really know how to make me laugh. And same with my family. But of course, at this time, I'm getting distracted here, but, you know, I absolutely adore my brothers and their wives and all the nieces and nephews and my parents. And I think that was the beautiful thing about last week was us all being together. But of course, we're all going through grief and emotions and had our own stresses. So I do, you know, at times like this, yes, we're still supporting each other, but it's really important to see who those friends are that you can lean on when your whole family is going through something. There are those village, that rest of your village there that you can lean on so that you can still be supportive of your other family members. And laughter. So I'd probably say laughter with my friends because they know me and they know my humour. And so I was saying like water. I love water. And she said I really wanted to go to the beach. And she said, oh, that makes sense. I thought you were just talking about like drinking water. And I thought, well, if that's what does it for you. So I had... It was lovely because I didn't expect that to come out and it made me laugh. It was really funny. So, but not just drinking water, but actually going to the beach and sitting and listening to the ocean and listening to the rhythms that are in nature. But, or the other one is walking to Henley Lake and going down to the river and just being there. So that's quite rivers and trees and stuff. I never thought that I would be that person because I always thought it was a bit like, oh, but now I guess, I really find the peace in nature and the beauty in it. So although I didn't have the energy for it, so I haven't really done it. But I think once I get the energy for it, then yes, I will go and do that and sit. So yeah, friends, being around water, music is really good for me because I struggle to get vulnerable with my emotions or I struggle to put words to my emotions. We can talk about that another day. That's to do with my personality. But what I find is that when I listen to music, when I don't want to talk about emotions anymore, it releases those emotions. And so I can listen to a song that might not even be singing about anything relevant to what I'm feeling, but because it's a sadder song, I can just sit and cry and think, okay, I'm sad right now. I'm feeling really sad and that's okay. And I'm just going to be sad. I think that's the personality stuff is talking about is I've had to learn to be okay with the different emotions outside of anger because anger is destructive and underneath anger is often all these other things for me that I just ignore. And so, yeah, stopping and acknowledging how you're feeling in that moment and just feel the emotion and don't even have to talk about it, but just, you know, is really helpful. That was it. Oh, and reading. Reading has been what has really helped me this week. I basically just created this bubble where I just read and I did minimal responsibility and took the time because it was the first time that I've actually truly given myself permission to just be. And thankfully I've got a very supportive husband who is able to say to me like, yeah, go do, I've got you. If you need to read, if you need to take some time out, go and do that. So I've got this incredible series that I'm reading. It's called The Prison Healer series. There's three books, The Prison Healer, The Gilded Cage and The Blood Traitor. Found it through book club and I love it. It's a young adult fantasy book and I've already read it once and I've just been reading it this week and it's awesome because it takes me into a whole nother world. And so what I thought I would do is after the next song, I was going to share why reading is really good for self-care because that's what I did this week. And I'm actually just interested as to how reading can help. So that's kind of my thing. So I think going back to we're talking about how do we parent when we're grieving and when you don't have children, when it's just you, you can take time off work and just be and have no responsibility. But when you have children and a husband and a house and pets and things, it's very difficult to just take time off, especially when you and your partner both need to have that space to replenish and take care of yourself. So, yeah, that's my first tip is take stock of you first. What do you need? And for me, being prone to depression and anxiety, that's really important so that I can acknowledge what are the flags that I can see, what are the tools that I've used in the past, how am I keeping on top of myself so that I don't walk through that door of depression and end up in a really bad place. And for me, it has been balancing being in a bubble and then stepping out of the bubble. So there were a couple of days where I just stayed at home and read, and then there were a couple of days where I got out with a friend for a walk, yesterday I went and did coffee morning and did food run, like a few work jobs, and had a friend beside me the whole time, which was awesome. And it just got me, you know, still living life, but in a way that was small steps. And then hopefully next week on Monday, I can get back into work and really get back into routine. But I'm also very aware that if it comes Monday and I get to midday and I'm like, do you know what? I'm done. I'm not coping. I'm totally fine with calling it. If you have the luxury of being able to do that, that is a blessing that I have, is that I can be flexible with my work. I think the second thing is to just check in with your partner. What do they need? And how can you work your schedules around each other to make sure you're both getting what you need? Because it is supporting each other and making sure each other are taking care of themselves as well as taking care of each other. That makes sense. Lots of each others in that sentence. So take stock on you. Check in with your partner. What do you need to do? What do they need to do? How can you help them? What can you do to make sure that they can get what they need, so that you individually and together are strong and supported? And then from there, I can then focus on how things are going with parenting and with the kids. So yeah, we will take a break, have another song to listen to, and then when we come back, I wanted to talk a little bit about how I've approached parenting this week. I'm just not saying that this is how you do it. None of this is saying how you do this. It's just me saying this is what I've experienced, this is what I've done to help me move through this better than what I have done in the past. And then I also wanted to talk about the benefits of reading, if we get to that today. If not, we will leave that for another day. Anyway, I have Celeste for us. She was in the, if you're a royal fan like me, the royal family fan, and watched all the Jubilee stuff, she sang in the Jubilee. I'm pretty sure at that concert that was outside in that circle in front of Buckingham Palace. So this is Celeste with Little Runaway.
Of a life, everybody got something, staring at the sky, I don't see nothing coming, thinking of my prayers, maybe they were all misplaced. Good news I could use some, one man revolution,
Oh, that was Celeste with A Little Runaway. A new favourite song for me here. alrighty, so we have been chatting about my thoughts around parenting while going through grief. And just before that last song is just really my kind of top tips, I guess, which was take stock of you first, check out what self-care you need, put them in place, and then, you know, check in with your partner, what self-care do they need, get those in place, and then you can focus on parenting. And I mean, I don't have any answers. I'm literally in the middle of it right now and just reflecting. And I think talking on the show today is just helping me to reflect in how am I working with my children? How am I working with my family to make this process as smooth as possible and not taking emotions out? Because that's been my behavior in the past, is taking my emotions out on my family and the ones that I love the most. That's where me acknowledging what I'm feeling has really helped, because it's kind of dampened down the anger response, and it's allowed me to actually communicate, well, actually I'm feeling really sad at the moment, or actually I'm feeling really tired, or I'm feeling hopeless, or whatever it is that I'm feeling, and I can talk it through. And that's what I want to teach my children to do, is how do we talk through what you're feeling? What I find hard is when you are at a point where your emotional tanks are low, your patience is just not there, what you can give is low, but your emotional your emotions are there for a reason, but when all your sadness and the grief, let's just call it grief, when all that is just bubbling over and you're just trying to keep on top of yourself, and then you have your five-year-old who, I don't know, has he got a testosterone boost going on right now? I don't know. Is it just that he's got all his energy back from after surgery? But my word, his sass this week, doors slamming and yelling and carrying on. It can be really challenging. For me, I can tend to fight back because it's just what I do. And when you're at a space where you're really low and your reserves are low and you're really sensitive and vulnerable, the default behaviors come out. And for me, that can tend to be snapping back or fighting back or just trying to make them do what I want them to do, force them to do what I say because I am the boss. And that never works, especially with our youngest. That never works with him. But what I went into this week thinking, because I wanted to be different, I want to grow, I want to develop, and I want to grow with our kids, as I thought, right, yes, the 3 weeks have been full on for husband and I, but they've also been full on for the kids. It's not been easy for them to hear their brother screaming in pain. It's not been easy for him being in pain, screaming. And then it's not been easy for them to then have mum not around and mum really upset and not really knowing what's going on and hearing that there's Nana who's dying. And because Nana had a 15-year journey of Alzheimer's, my children didn't get to know Nana as Nana. They knew her as Nana, but Nana from the home with Alzheimer's. So there wasn't that relationship that, you know, I and my brothers have with her. So for them, that's just a really uncertain time. And I thought, try to see it through their perspective. Try to see it through their eyes. Would that unsettle me if I was their age? And probably, yeah, it would. And I think that's probably my tip I'm learning. I'm not ever going to say this is how you do it, because I'm like you. I'm a fellow parent just trying to figure it out and 100% prepared to pay for their therapy when they're older. I think try and see it from their perspective. So, yes, there might be some behavior. I mean, I don't know. This is not necessarily the answer, because kids can muck around all the time and not be bothered by that. But I just think I'm being mindful of that. I'm being mindful of the impact that this could have on them and the emotions it could bring up for them that they're not even aware of, because they're kids and they don't know. They've never gone through anything like this before. It is a first time experience. So I put that in the front of my mind, not to let them get away with stuff. Because, yeah, you know, you still don't get to, you know, get away and push the boundaries and walk all over us. But just stop. It helps. Why does that help me? It helps me so that I don't come down hard, because that's the way that I tend to approach them is if I'm not coping, I come down hard on them and it's a bit unreasonable. And that's why I remind myself, I don't actually think my husband needs to, because he's a lot more gentler and calmer and patient with the kids than I am. Yeah, and then the other thing I find, I'm at the age where I can talk to my kids, or the kids are at the age where I can talk to them. Not so much our five-year-old, but the other two I can kind of say, yeah, actually I'm feeling really sad today, or I'm feeling really tired today, and I can explain to them why. So I find that helpful, just including them into my world of what's going on so that they're aware. And I'm hoping that that process also teaches them empathy, because they're hearing and seeing how I'm reacting, and then that will cause them to feel and experience things. And you get these beautiful moments. I've had so many pictures drawn for me. I've had leaves brought home from school. I've had sticks with a leaf stuck on it brought home from school. And I've had a sticker that's lost its stick been given to me. You know, like they start to express themselves and the way that they care and love. I think why I can tend to battle with our youngest is because he's very natural born leader, very independent. I want to help. I need to have a purpose. And when I'm in a space like this, I'm like, nope, I'm just going to do it myself, because I'm exactly the same. So no, I don't need your help. And that offends him. And I think that's possibly why he and I have battled against each other this week. So to round up that blurb there, what was it? It was just put yourself in their perspective, try and see it from their view, their childlike view. Talk with them, be honest with them, be open with them if you can, if they're at an age where it's appropriate, if they're at an age where they understand. Reassurance is the biggest thing. So I think even when they're really little, like with our five-year-old, he doesn't fully understand what's going on, but he still needs that reassurance. So for me, that's through hugs and kisses and playing and reading and watching things together. So my approach this week for after school was I just didn't worry about homework. I didn't worry about our usual routine. They were just coming home. We would sit on the couch. We might read together. I might just sit and watch them play. But I was just there in the room with them. Didn't necessarily have to do anything, but I could read my book. And then I think one day this week we watched, what's his name? George Clark's Amazing Spaces, because I was a little bit over Paw Patrol from when Troy was recovering and I didn't want any more cartoons. And Zane was pretty keen to watch that. So we sat there and that was cool because they thought that was awesome, George Clark's Amazing Spaces. So finding your way of reassuring them that they're okay, that requires patience, especially when they're emotional. And that's when I find it hard, when they are crying at you or angry at you or not listening, or, you know, and it's not all the time, but when it is, at the end of the day, it can be really challenging to remain patient. So my approach on that yesterday, because our youngest, he didn't want to have a bath, he wanted to play outside with the others. Anyway, short version ended in him yelling at me that he wasn't having a bath and slamming the door. Now, I had stayed calm and I just was like, and then in the past what I would have done is gone out there and said, get back here, you know, you don't talk to me, you know, talk to him about it. But yesterday I was like, do you know what? I'm not going to do that, because that always ends up with me fighting with my five-year-old and feeling really immature. I'm actually just going to leave it. That behavior wasn't okay, but I'm going to talk with husband when he gets home and we can sort it out. What I observed, he walked up to his brother and he was like, I'm not having a bath, and I told Mum. And then he saw me through the window. And then I noticed he actually snuck back in the house through the garage and he went and hopped in the bath thinking that I didn't know. And so he had in that time been able to process the interaction and he went and had a bath. So he did follow his instructions in the end. And then we were able to talk about it later on, about, you know, that's not the way to talk about things or go around things. And I will admit, I have probably taught him to respond that way in some ways, because let's be real, I've slammed a door once or twice and I've gotten grumpy, and I'm not going to pretend that I haven't, because I have. So I take some ownership there. But yeah, I think the biggest thing is patience. And if you know that the patience isn't there, sometimes walking away is the best option, is what I learnt yesterday. And I was really surprised at how giving him some space really actually worked better than me following him. And maybe that's what I learnt in that moment, is he's one of those people that when he is angry and upset, just to leave him be for a moment, and he will calm himself down and then we can talk. And again, I can 100% relate, because I've said that to my husband I don't know how many times. Just leave me alone. Let me figure myself out. So, yeah, that's my kind of beginner's thoughts on how I'm going with parenting and dealing with grief at the same time. So what did I say? Look at it from their perspective. Talk with them about what you're walking through. Ask them how they feel so you can have that conversation. Like, listen to them, because we did a show on listening. Listen to the kids. I think I was going to do a show all about listening to children, so I'm still going to do that. And what's the other one I said? Oh, reassurance. Reassuring them that everything is okay. And yeah, just being patient. I guess that's Dad's voice in my head, is pick your battles. Pick your battles. And that really helped yesterday. Hopefully these thoughts and little nuggets that I'm coming to terms with are helpful for you, not just when you're going through grief, but any type of stress time when you're having to work with your children and work with other people. And I think it's just taking a step back and taking a breath and looking at it from a different perspective, and just nothing has to be rushed. So I'll let that settle, and we are going to listen to Delilah Montague, Loud. This is her song, Loud.
Scream.
Okay, so today I've been chatting away about my thoughts around parenting while grieving, because that is a recent, a current place that I'm walking through right now as a mum. And I think, again, it's just a really good conversation to have to make you think about, you know, how do we teach our kids grief? And I think we all would agree that our children learn most by seeing, not by what we say. I mean, how much of what our parents said to us do we remember versus how much did we learn from what happened? And I think that's why these conversations are good to kind of put out there and talk about, because it's important for our kids to see us grieving in a healthy way. And it's okay for them to see us in our lowest. It's okay for them to see us cry. It's okay for us to see, it's okay for them to see us disagree or, you know, trying to grapple with our feelings, because that is how they are going to learn. And that's, for me, really important as a parent, allowing my kids to be exposed to that in a healthy way where they are safe and they can learn how to communicate their feelings when they're going through, difficult kid times that kids go through. And it is important to acknowledge that, because sometimes what they find really sad, we just think, oh, that's so funny. But for them, it's actually really sad. And so then, you know, Lucy came home one day so sad because her little ladybug that she'd caught at school died. And she was beside herself. She was so upset. And in those moments, that's where we teach them it's okay to be sad and it's okay to grieve. It's not silly. You know, that was important to her. Even though, you know, to me, I could just go and get another ladybug, to her, that was important. And so it's important for them that we lead by example and we talk about these things and talk about them with them and not be afraid to have those conversations around death and grief and emotions, and also not afraid to apologize. You know, I have not done it right these last couple of weeks. I've had some really ugly moments in it because I'm human. And I've had to apologize and just say, hey, family, I'm really sorry. That was not okay for me to do that. I think situations like these definitely make families or they break families. And I'm really grateful that we can focus on how these can make the family stronger. What have I learned the most through this process with Nana? Is that life, you know, just the reminder that life's too short to waste time worrying about stuff that's not going to help me. You know, worrying about insecurities or worrying about am I screwing up my kids or worrying about whatever. What's the point of that? It's a lot of time wasted. And actually just do your best, try your best. You know, trust in who you are. You're a good person and communicate, be honest and listen. And, you know, don't worry about the rest of the world and all of that. So that's going down a different path that I don't really want to go down. So we can talk about that another day. Before I want to go, I wanted to talk about the benefits of reading, because I'm just really interested and we've got a little bit of time left. Sorry, I just found this quick page on Google. Top 10 benefits of reading for all ages. And I'm doing this because that was my self-care of this week, was reading, and I've loved it. And I think it has really helped me to just stay in a good place. So one, reading exercises the brain. That's cool. We have to remember different characters and settings that belong to given stories. So even if you enjoy reading a book in one sitting, you have to remember the details throughout the time. That's so true, actually, because especially when you're doing a series, there's three books there. And the reason why I chose to read the series again is because I knew I had forgotten things. And as I read it again this week, I was like, oh, that's right. Yeah. Reading is a form of free entertainment, which is very true. Reading improves concentration and the ability to focus. Reading improves literacy. Yep, there was a new word I learnt this week. What was it? I've still got to look it up. Mirth. I might ask Michael when I leave. Radio Michael, he might know. And I'm picking it's got something to do with, like, happy, humorous emotions, because they kept talking about how she saw the mirth. I'll find out in their eye. And I was like, what is this? Reading improves sleep. That's true, actually, because this week I've been reading before bed instead of being on my phone, and I've actually had really good sleeps this week. Didn't think about that. By creating a bedtime routine that includes reading, you can signal to your body that it is now time to sleep. Although I keep reading until 1 a.m. so it's not really... I force myself to sleep because I really love the book. Anywho, reading increases general knowledge. I guess if you're reading a book that gives you general knowledge, fantasy is not general knowledge. If you want to know about elemental magic, I can tell you. Or healing magic. Or not healing magic. It's not giving me any general knowledge. Reading is motivational. Yeah, I get really excited about reading. Reading reduces stress, yes. Reading sets a positive example, absolutely. I think it's been good because I've noticed the kids have read a bit more at home this week because I've sat on the couch and read, and Lucy just cuddles up next to me with her Warrior Cats book. And reading teaches empathy. Cool. I like those top 10 tips, so I'm going to put them up on the Facebook page so you can have them as well. So that is the benefit of reading. When I was coming out of my deep, dark depression back, you know, a few years ago, I started a book club, which is still running to this day. And I created it, it's pretty chill. It's really relaxed. We were meant to meet tonight, but we're not because it's not going to work out. And it's all good. No stress. But we love it. And it was my way of trying to integrate back with people. I hadn't done a lot of reading up until that point, especially with having children. And I used to read a lot more when I was younger. When I was a teenager, and then I kind of stopped a little bit. So anyway, I started this book club, and it was really hard to get back into reading. It was really hard. But then after a couple of months of just every night reading a little bit, it just got easier and easier, and I love it. Books, I just am always buying books. I'm always reading. It just is an escape for me. I used to only ever read, like, I guess, self-help type books. I can't do that now, eh? I'm like, no, give me a novel. Give me an imaginative story. Or a bio is sometimes good, but yeah. No, so I really recommend reading. If you're not a big reader or you haven't been a big reader, that's not an excuse. You can actually get into reading some really good books. Find a book club. That's really fun because then you're reading with people and you can talk about the book. And it's really funny when you've got a book that half the group likes and the other half don't like. So maybe I'll share some of my book reviews one day. Anywho, right, well, that is us for the day. Finished talking about trying to parent while grieving. And hopefully you've found this helpful and it's given you some thoughts. I would love to hear what other people's thoughts are. I might ask around a few people. May even get someone else to jump on the show and have a chat with me about it too. But I'll put up a few different things we've talked about today. But remember, at the end of the day, always take care of yourself. You're worth it. It's, I always think of that makeup ad whenever I say you're worth it. L'Oreal. Is it L'Oreal? Because you're worth it. Or Maybelline. No, it's Maybelline. Revlon, because you're worth it. I don't know. I have to think about that one. Which makeup place is because you're worth it? Distracted majorly. What was I saying? Oh, we were finishing. Yes. So take care of yourself. We've got this. We're not perfect. We make mistakes, but we just, every day is a new day and we try again. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for listening to me and following up on this. And I look forward to coming in next week. I don't know what I will talk about, but it will be something fun, I'm sure. And I hope you enjoyed the music. I'll chuck the playlist up. And yeah, that is me for today. Catch you all later. Have a great weekend. Hopefully there'll be lots of sunshine. Stay safe and we'll see you next week.